for those that were here in the morning, but just to align information about what happened this morning. It was an open meeting of the Cross Community Working Party on ICANN's corporate responsibility to respect human rights. We have been organizing this session since ICANN London. It has been happening since then, and we are happy to notice that there is a growing interest in terms of different parts of the community that this work moves forward. There was quite a positive assessment in terms of working as a working party, and that it is important for us to map what are the specific issues and policies in ICANN and how they relate to human rights, and that we develop impact assessment tools, like Niels mentioned. And we also exchanged some information regarding corporate social responsibility initiatives that could inspire our work and how we could translate these principles to ICANN's remit and environments, such as the Global Network Initiative, GNI. And there was some information about parallel work on human rights that is being carried out in different parts of ICANN, such as the working group that the GAC is discussing to create on human rights and international law. So GAC is also working into this issue, and we should seek ways in order to cooperate with them once they have their chart in place. They are discussing the scope of their work, and probably we will be able to work together more closely in Dublin.
Thank you very much for that excellent overview, Marilia. Does anyone have any questions about that? No? That's great. So to operationalize that, there are a few... I made a short list of tasks that need to be done. I'll shortly go through them and to see if there are any clarifications and questions about that. So the first thing that would really help is if we could create a visually attractive chart which correlates rights with policies and operations that makes it really clear which policies and operations in ICANN impact which rights. So we could think of WHOIS and privacy, the expert working group on WHOIS and privacy, and of course the GTLDs, the new GTLDs, and economic and social rights. So that people would have in a clear overview what would the impact be so that they understand the work better, and that would fall under the mandate of awareness raising of the cross-community working party. So that's one thing to do. A further thing would be mapping of relevant CSR policies and or standards and see how they could be reshaped for ICANN. So we mapped in the Article 19 report for the Cross-Community Working Party, there were an analysis of a few different policies or standards, and we could see, are there more, and what standards are there used, and how can they be used for ICANN? Then another one is the mapping of examples of standards for human rights impact assessment. So how can we do human rights impact assessment for ICANN? What would be standards there so we do not need to reinvent the wheel? And then the analyze the possibilities of the policy developments process, right of rights assessment, and see if there are relevant upcoming issues reports for which we could do this. Because apparently, in the current policy development process, if an issue report is released, there is already the opportunity to do a rights impact assessment. That has up to now never been done. So it would be relevant for us to see how could we operationalize and do that, and perhaps see what are upcoming issue reports in which we could do that. Then there are more tasks of a practical nature. So organize 3 conference calls before ICANN 54 in Dublin. Organize a preparation call with the GAC working group co-chairs. Set meeting with all constituencies for ICANN Dublin and conference calls with these constituencies. Organize the meetings in Dublin and organize a joint meeting perhaps with the GAC working group and the cross-community working party. And then I'd like to add one more point for the list and also for discussion, and that is whether we can see whether the issue report that Article 19 drafted for the cross-community working party, what could be a process for perhaps adapting that, for adopting that in completeness or in part so that it would become a product of the cross-community working party. So that's quite a list of things to do. Is there anyone who has questions or a burning passion to do one of these tasks?
Actually, this is Marília Maciel speaking. It's just an observation. I think that the chart, it's actually the product of a work that needs to be done, and that was mentioned in the public meeting today, which is to talk to different parts of the community and try to understand the concrete issues that they are facing, such as the registries. For instance, they speak about the difficulty to follow the national rules of data protection and to collect the information that the ICANN contract makes them collect. So this is a very specific case that they always mention in the public meetings, but they never have the time to explore exactly what are the sticky issues. So I think that the chart is actually the product of this mapping and talking to different parts of the community, and maybe this will require some field work, and we need to commission someone that is helped by a community member that, you know, presents the different parts of the community, and we are able to build this case studies repository of where the problems are. So I think it will make much easier to understand what we are talking about, and then the result of this is the chart.
That sounds like an excellent description of that task. Would anyone be interested in collaborating on that, on working on?
Yes, APC would be interested in working on. I'm not sure, the scope seems quite large, perhaps, but so we might need to work with someone, depending. But we would be interested in being a part of the first one.
Well, that's really great work. So perhaps we can say that APC can be the lead on the process, and then we'll try to get on the mailing list, see where we need input, see where we can link you up with the relevant community members to map those issues, see where we can get the resources and those information, and that would be great. And for the record, APC is the Association for Progressive Communications. Am I right?
Joy Lidicott from New Zealand says, I would like to volunteer to support working on the chart and also on one or two of the initial analyses.
Oh, that's really great. So that seems like a really strong team for this first output. So that's really great. Then perhaps we go on to the next point, or did you have a point, Lee? Please, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Niels. Lee Hibbard from the Council of Europe. I think, you know, the Council of Europe is an international governmental organization of 47 member states, and we've been very much helping and facilitating work both in the GAC working group and also here. So I think in general, of course, that support will continue. You know, there's quite a lot of expertise on human rights in the Council of Europe, so I think I tried to find out whether, you know, we can find expertise that can come in and contribute to this work, which specific expertise we will need to discuss. But I just want to put a place marker for to assist in the future work of the CCWP. And I think, just as you said, Niels, I think it's important to identify roles and responsibilities so that we all are clear going to Dublin. And that also means regarding the, you know, leading this work. And I don't know whether we need any a lead or co-lead. I don't know whether the word is a chair or not. But you know, is it clear who's doing what and who is leading this CCWP, etc.? Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to understand what is deep inside, what's to do. And I'm trying to understand where the theme, like how to operate with this. I mean, operational mechanism of human rights inside ICANN. It can be ombudsman, it can be someone near ombudsman, but I suppose we are to think about operational mechanism as one of the points. not only to analyze, but to propose, to make some proposals how to fulfill such some amount of job afterwards.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So I was thinking under which part that that could be going. So some suggestions for that were mentioned in the Article 19 report for the issue report. So and in so perhaps we could do that under the process of the adoption of parts of the report and perhaps an addition of that report.
You see, it is absolutely right, it is necessary to do, but it's a kind of actions inside the project once. I am speaking about operational mechanism, something like maintenance or, I don't know, operations. You see, it's something different. How to operate with human rights themes, with human rights activities, and say who will every day who will fulfill this. We would like. I suppose we are to think about it and to make some proposals about it.
Would that fall under the CSR policy? You think on the corporate and social responsibility policy?
Policy is it the paper? I mean persons and their abilities and the business procedures.
Marilia, go ahead.
Well, maybe I agree with you. Maybe to answer this question, I think that, first of all, we have this group that has been formed, which is informal. That is why it's called a working party, not exactly a working group. We are not chartered and so on. But I think that moving the work forward, maybe we need a little bit more structure, like Lee has said, a facilitation or clear contact points and so on. But I think that this group is kind of the seed of the work. But in terms of how we include into the process, then I think that this mapping that we are talking about, this is what is going to tell us.
It is possible, really, absolutely, but it is necessary to think deeper.
I was looking at the list that you put in the, and I think that maybe there are three main areas of work that we could carry out that require different expertise. So maybe it's a good way for us to divide ourselves. I think that maybe the correlation between rights and policies and the interviews and so on is something that someone who is knowledgeable in the community and know the different parts could help to facilitate that, together with the analysis of the possibilities of how to include this in a PDP process, because this requires quite a lot of understanding of how ICANN operates. So I would kind of organize this cluster as an internal thing that someone in the community could not do all the work but facilitate. The other, it seems to me, that require more kind of a law background, because we would be mapping relevant CSR mechanisms and human rights impact assessment. So maybe kind of a legal team, a team with more legal expertise on this. And the third one is very operational. It's related to how do we organize ourselves from here until Dublin during the meeting in Dublin. So maybe if we separate in clusters, it's more clear in our minds the expertise that we are looking for. So I would say it's a legal, it's a networking community team, and it's a operational team maybe.
Excellent suggestion, Marilia. So in that case, it would be relevant to see if there is, if we combine, so the chart correlating rights with policies operations with the analyze of the possibilities of the PDP right of assessment, and see if there are relevant processes there with someone who has a lot of experience and understanding of how the community works.
I guess basically you're talking about GNSO policies. So that's which task exactly, number?
0 and 3, and there you would be working together with the people from APC, so you would be having strong support.
Oh, yeah, okay, thanks. I mean, I guess for the...
Rafiq, please identify yourself for the recording.
My name is Rafiq Damak. So... I guess in terms of the assessment, usually it should be starting with the issue report. That's the first thing. But yeah, I will be happy to. We can start this work first, really to go through the PDP itself, to see the different step and details, and see where it can fit.
I'd say we've done some of that sort of close analysis of the PDP process for the GAC GNSO work, so I'd be happy to help pull out some documents we've already done. I'd be happy to help pull out some of the documents we've already done for that. And
who are you, sir, for the record?
I am David Cake.
That's in the recording.
Edmund Chung here. I don't know whether... Anyway, so on number three, actually, the council just passed a resolution to start an preliminary issues report on the next round of new GTLDs. I'm sure this might be something that should have some potential impact on human rights, and that's something that we can immediately try to latch on.
Edmund, could we then perhaps charter you to do a bit of an search on that, issue report?
Yeah, but we need this. What he means that probably that need to go through the council. Even now they passed the motion, but I guess we need to do some work to ask to add that element in the initial report. So initial issue report. So it's more that we need to go through the council.
Excellent. With that, it seems like we have... and Marilia Marcial, wow, we have a super team for task 0 and 3. So now we'll go for the more legal work, mapping the relevant corporate social responsibility policies and standards, and see how they could be reshaped to work for ICANN, and the mapping of examples and standards for human rights impact assessment. That will be someone with either a CSR background, a legal background, a lot of Googling. Would people be interested in that?
Can I? Thank you. Okay, so, as I said, thank you, Lee Hibbard, Council of Europe. I think that, I should try to find the expertise that you're looking for. And it'd be good to have someone with a human rights background, who can really come from an external point of view, can come in and have their hand held by somebody from the community and maybe linked to the work having interviews and speaking to people, can actually look at these issues and give some, some expertise. So I would endeavour to try to find that expertise and bring it in for you, as well as my own time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lee. And I think I can also offer some support from Article 19. On that as well. And perhaps, let's see if Joy is still on the... I think perhaps we can also see if Joy would be interested to help with that. That would be great. Stephanie has her hand up in the chat. Sorry, I didn't see that. Stephanie, go ahead.
Thanks very much. For the record, is Stephanie Perrin, NCSG. I'm going to sound very, very bureaucratic and nerdy here when I propose this, so bear with me. But I think we need, because of the amorphous nature of this topic, particularly we're starting from kind of zero at ICANN, in my view, I think we need a logic model and we need clear goals to orient our tasks. And we need to know what we're trying to achieve from an overall model. This is what a logic model gives you, and the deliverables and the outcomes and all the rest of this. Because I think there's a risk we're going to go helter-skelter, and it would be very good to go stepwise.
Would the charter perhaps form feed in into such a thing, Stephanie?
The charter would solve some of the questions about how we achieve our goals, but the logic model helps us actually come up with the goals and the short-term deliverables and the long-term deliverables. And I fear that absent that, we will be pulled in various directions as we move forward. So I can see pressure coming. You know, the moment we meet with the GAC, the GAC committee, their goals and deliverables and outcomes are different than ours, I would suggest. And so there's a risk we're going to be pulled off there. And then as we get more stakeholders joining us, same thing will happen. So it would be a tandem development with the charter, don't you? Possibly. Yes. But it's not necessarily been accepted by everybody and all the rest of it, right?
Okay, Valeria Betancourt from the APC. I'm glad that Stephanie brought those issues up, because I was just going to propose that the group help the facilitation group that is going to be in charge of Tax Zero to come up with a clearer guidance on the scope, on the goal and the outcome. And also, my question for you is if you expect the facilitation group that is going to be in charge of this task to come up with a timeline, or is there something that we need to take into account in order to organize the work of this group?
I think I would volunteer to work with you to come up with a draft logic model and a draft timeline to see, because then we have, and then also who does what, simply, and then we have clear deliverables for our time up to Dublin. I would be happy to do that as an outcome of this meeting. The operational work, point 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, I would be happy to do that as well, but I think I can only do that in collaboration with the NCSG chair. Okay. And with the support from the NCSG, do you think such a thing would be possible? Organizing of conference calls, setting up the meetings for Dublin, liaising with the GAC working group.
Yeah, so you mean 4, 5, and 6, 7. Yeah, sure. We will continue.
Rafik speak. Yes, I think in terms of getting the meetings room and the conf call and all these logistics, we can help. I mean, just this logistical support. And also, as we did, I can help to contact the different chairs and so on. So, and having the kind of report like what we did for this meeting. Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Chair Niels. Lee Hibbard from the Council of Europe. Just to say that I think that from my experience in working with other groups, and I'm thinking particularly of the European Dialogue on Internet Governance, the Eurodic, it's very important to make it very clear now who is really on board as part of a core team going to Dublin. I mean, there's lots of supporters here, and some will be in Dublin, some will not. Some are on remote, some are not. But it'll be quite important to try to identify who is going to be really at the core of this CCWP, who's going to lead it, who are going to be the anchors for support, and simply, you know, going to be around to really contribute. It'd be nice to have some clarity of who that support structure is, rather than just a group of people who meet and discuss when they can. So people will come on the calls, some people will contribute. So I don't know whether the time is now, but it'd be very important from my experience to see, you know, who really is going to support the process and endeavour to commit. Thank you.
Lee, can you clarify what you mean by support here? I mean, just... It's not clear.
It would just be nice to know, you know, we have people in the room, there's people on the list, the mailing list. It'd be nice to know simply who is involved, and maybe at some point that we see the list of people who are following, who are supporting, who want to take a leading role. We've just started talking about this now. So it'd just be nice to know for transparency who is involved in the drive, in the next steps, just so we can identify each other. Because there are an increasing number of people who are involved. It's just for reasons of transparency. I think it's very important for people to know.
So in it, for matters of transparency, I would be happy to volunteer to help facilitating and coordinating this process. And if other people are there also willing to help in that, that would be really great. And here I would also like to open the opportunity for newcomers, of which I see there are quite a lot of fellows and people who are relatively new to see the opportunity, if they would like to contribute something to also take the floor, but also ask a member of the board who is luckily here to see if these inputs would also help them in their further thinking about ICANN's obligation to respect human rights.
Yeah, this is Wolfgang Kleinwächter for the record. Thank you, Niels. I'm speaking here as a member of the community and not as a member of the board. So we had several discussions, bilateral discussions with various board members, but we have not yet discussed in detail, you know, what the common board position is. But one thing you can take for sure, that an organization which is so in favor of a free internet is certainly in favor of human rights. So I think there should be no disagreement from the very early moment that there are some doubts or people would say, oh, human rights is not relevant for ICANN. It is relevant. However, ICANN has a limited mandate. ICANN is a technical organization dealing with names and numbers. So ICANN will not become a human rights organization. With all the support we have and the feeling of board members and parts of the community, including your community, I think this is for sure that we will not be listed in the UN General Assembly as a human rights organization. So ICANN is and remain a technical organization. But as we know from the previous discussions and the wonderful reports, you have outlined that a number of policies ICANN has developed and has to implement raises human rights aspects. And insofar, the last paper is very helpful because it identifies more clearly, you know, where the intersection is between general global human rights debate and the practical technical policies ICANN has to implement it. So, however, in your paper, you have a number of recommendations, and let me make one comment here, or two comments. The first thing is you write, in order to demonstrate its commitment to human rights and bring these principles into the mainstream, ICANN should. And then in order to comply with due diligence, ICANN should. Let me just clarify. ICANN, you mean the ICANN community or the ICANN board? I think you mean the ICANN community, because ICANN is a multi-stakeholder mechanism, and that's a task for everybody. It's not only just for a single body. So that means it's for the community, and they have to do something. But if you go into the details, what ICANN should, then you propose a policy development process for human rights. And here I have my doubts whether this is not the right place to develop a policy, an ICANN policy for human rights. So what ICANN has to do is it has to understand the legal framework for human rights. It has to study the reports which come out from the work of the UN Special Rapporteur for Freedom of Expression and Privacy in the Digital Age. It has to study it and to think about it, you know, has this any consequences for the work of ICANN? If the board or the council decides upon a resolution, it has to check whether the material paragraphs of the resolution are in line with international human rights commitments, as we check about the security implications, the financial implications, the trademark implications. So we have to check with every resolution or the human rights implications. And if there are some doubts, if we have not the expertise, then probably ICANN could hire one or two in form of advisory, or expert group, two or three international legal experts for human rights. That means in a question, in a case where we are not 100% clear whether this concrete resolution, goes too far or is too short, to meet the requirements which come from the international legal framework. So then we can ask for expert advice. I would not propose a standing committee. Some people have discussed ICAN needs a human rights advisory committee. I think not for this moment. Let's wait and see. Probably in 5 years, the situation is different. But to have at our disposal one or two experts, which can be asked if needed, this could be part of a program which you discuss here for the years ahead. So this needs really more multi-stakeholder discussion. I'm very happy that the governments are very active in this, because governments are the main stakeholder group which has also the power to implement human rights, or they have to guarantee human rights, because that's their responsibility. That it means the rest can do something, but it's the legal obligation is with the governments. And insofar, I think this is very helpful that the governments are here engaged. This will also further enhance our multi-stakeholder model, where all stakeholders in their specific roles work hand in hand, and this is a very good place. But once again, I think this has to be sure and clear from the very early moment that I would not recommend and support a PDP process on an ICAN policy on human rights. But I support a mechanism where ICAN and the decision-making bodies, which includes the board, the various councils, get pushed more into a direction that they are aware what the human rights commitments and obligate rights and duties are. And a very final comment is, normally in the last years when we discussed human rights, we discussed privacy and freedom of expression related to UIS and new TTLD programs and things like that. What I have seen in the last 1 or 2 years, in particular related to the new TTLD program, is consumer protection. Consumer protection is not a traditional human right, but it has very close relationship, or has a human rights dimension. And insofar, we should really, look into all these various dimensions and to take this on board. So there are a lot of concerns now, and with the introduction of the new GTLD program, then suddenly consumers are confused or feel mistreated or something like that. And I think this is an important field which has to be studied. So that means we need more facts. And I would also encourage this community here, with all, in particular, members from the at-large community. They have people in all the countries that they collect facts, so that you can then base certain practical steps on concrete facts. So it's always better to have some fact-finding missions, so that you can speak very concretely if there are violations of human rights with regard to this. So these are my remarks. And again, my remarks are not a board position. Even if I'm a member of the board, I made this statement on my own behalf as a member of the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang. That's a great remark, and it really builds on the discussion that we've had this morning. I see that there is a did you raise your hand? Stephanie Perrin, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I think Wolfgang raises some very interesting issues, and for those who are not accustomed to ICAN, and I suspect there are some here, it has taken me at least 2 years to figure out some of the distinctions that ICAN makes between the public interest, which is in the affirmation of commitments, the PICs, which is in the new top-level domains, the concept of public interest, which we're now talking about, the concept of consumer protection, which there's a whole group working on within ICANN staff and in anticipation of moving forward. Now, I'm one of those who is trying to draw a bright line to keep ICANN in its sandbox, having to do with domains and only domains and not content of websites and activity on the internet. There are others who don't agree with that, but I'm being very transparent here. And as I try to draw that bright line, consumer protection gets very, very problematic. So investigating what's going on in terms of consumer protection, I think, is really important. Even if you're on the other side and you want to expand ICANN's mandate into more consumer protection, it's good to know what we're talking about. Because consumer protection is now explicitly part of the Public Safety Advisory Committee to the GAC, I am concerned that it will be lumped in with law enforcement concerns and public safety, which in my business, which is privacy, my whole career mostly, has always been difficult to fence off. You know, that was always the trump card that defeated privacy. So I guess all I'm saying is the more we map out and get some clarity on what we're talking about in each of the different processes in ICANN, I think that will improve our chances for success. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stephanie, for that comment. Then I, if there are no other questions, then I would like to ask a question to Wolfgang about the comment he just made. Because you're saying that there should be this support mechanism to see if we are in doubt about whether this policy can or not have an impact on human rights. And we had this discussion this morning, and then we thought it would make sense that if we would do such a human rights impact assessment, that we would have a standard for that, and that we use standards like the Global Compact or similar to understand both how ICANN as an organization has an impact on human rights, but also if we would do a human rights impact assessment, how that could and should be conducted, so that we would have a standard for that to ensure that it's really done and proper in accordance to existing standards. So, and that's what this work would feed into. How does that sound to you?
I think ICANN is great in procedures, so I'm always in favor, you know, to... Sometimes you cannot reach any more agreement with regard to substance. But if you have a good procedure in place and put it step one, step two, step three, so probably suddenly you end up that you, without a formal consensus on substance, you reach a consensus on substance because you followed a certain procedure. Insofar, procedure, to have a certain procedure in place, you know, if you have the check boxes, you know, when you can say, that's okay, that's fine, so... This could be based, there is no need, you know, to have a document with 20 paragraphs. So, but step one, step two, step three would make sense. And as I said, you know, we have in the general legal framework on human rights, which is, you know, a legal obligation to respect in the articles of incorporation. In your study, you have quoted quite extensively Article 4 of our Articles of Incorporation. So we have to understand there are now several layers in what are international conventions and international legal framework. This does not only include the conventions from 1966 and others. That's why I refer to the two special rapporteurs in the Human Rights Council. They produce reports which are not legally binding, but, you know, this constitutes a certain political framework which ICANN cannot ignore. And so I'm very curious to get the first report from the new appointed special rapporteur on privacy in the digital age. This will help us to find the right balance if we move forward with the next generation, the EWG, and the next generation of WHOIS services. So because this is really a new territory, and we have to move forward step by step, and ICANN that is not under pressure to reinvent the wheel for how to protect privacy in the digital age. Other bodies will do much better, but we have to study this to learn and to conclude what does it mean for us. So, but I would not recommend, you know, to start what I said already several times, to start an own PDP for human rights in ICANN. So we need PDPs for names and numbers. And this brings me also to additional comment to what Stephanie has just said. Fadi has here in Buenos Aires repeated again and again and again, ICANN is not the cyber police. And we do not deal with content. So this is not our business, so that means. But there are some complex issues which pull us again and again into this slippery territory and where we have to find the right line, the right maneuver, you know, to not to be pulled in a role of cyber police. Some governments want to have ICANN as a cyber police. This is a bad move. But on the other hand, you know, to see that something is under the responsibility of ICANN if it comes to consumer protection. In so far, my recommendation is really to collect cases. If you have a concrete case, then you can better work with the case. You know, is this a responsibility for ICANN or not? Is there a breach of a contract? Because when people say ICANN is a regulator, then we are regulating by contract. But it means you have to look into the contracts. This is important. So what has to be included in the contract? This morning, the German GAC representative argued in the GAC that GAC advice should go into the contracts for the new GTLD, and this would then enable ICANN to go to the contractor if they ignore this. So far, GAC gives advice, but the contract is a little bit separated from the GAC advice. So this is an interesting element. Let's study this in detail, you know, how this can be managed. So on the other hand, the ICANN board is not obliged to take every GAC advice. We need consensus advice, and then we have a procedure, you know, how. So again, case by case. So this is much better than to have just general rules which open the door for different interpretations, which is always difficult. And then you need another 5 years to agree on a framework of interpretation. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang. I saw there was a reaction or a question from Ellen from APC.
Yeah. My response is just framed as a newcomer to the ICANN space. It seems to me that whether or not the ICANN needs to adopt policies or operations or in what form or what shape the idea of human rights takes in ICANN would be informed by this process as opposed to something that should be decided beforehand. I mean, for instance, I think there might be a situation where ICANN does need to draft policies that are human rights orientated because the alternative is that it's in constant deliberation around issues of human rights, and that's also something it can't necessarily do, I would imagine.
I can have to police its contracts. That's it, what they have to do. And because the WHOIS service is part of the contract with the registrar accreditation agreement, so we have here a privacy issue. And we have to deal then with different jurisdictions. That's why we have the waiver for the European registrars, a very bureaucratic monster. But anyhow, you know, this is what was the outcome of a long discussion. And now with the new European directive remains to be seen, you know, how we can manage this. But what ICANN has to police is really contracts. So contract compliance, this is what ICANN has to do. Other things, you know, bad content on bad websites, even in the .sachs case, you know, this is the market. So this is why we have asked the Federal Trade Commission and the Canadian Trade Commission, if somebody uses a resource and offers a product overpriced, you know, what the provider of the resource should say, then, you know, the market will regulate it. Probably the whole business model collapses in 6 months, and then it's gone.
terms of, so you're saying consumer. You're saying that that consumer protection is an interesting and relevant point, but maybe we could also have a look at things like freedom of association, which are also an increasing topic in the GTLDs, thinking about the .k case and the issues around that.
Yes, and if you go through, you mentioned the Social and Economic and Cultural Rights Convention. If you go through all the 50 paragraphs of the two conventions, you will find probably even more aspects which are relevant in a world which is based on names and numbers. And so far, to study this more in detail, this is very helpful, and I'm very pleased to see that, you know, a lot of groups, intergovernmental groups, civil society groups, Article 19, has discovered this as a field for deeper research and for more clearer investigation. We are still in the early stage. We do not yet fully understand the relationship of all these various aspects.
I would like to comment a little bit. I fully agree with Wolfgang, with you, that it is not necessary to invent new rules. It's not the right way. The right way to learn how to look at the existing documents and new documents through the prism of human rights, to understand the influence better, maybe more carefully analyze this. And this is the main point for today, I suppose, for today. Maybe tomorrow something different, maybe, will the main. But today, from my opinion, it is the main point, to analyze, to learn how to look through the prism of human rights.
Thank you. Lehivad, Council of Europe. So I just want to build on what Wolfgang has just said, to point out that what I pointed out this morning, for those who are not there, is that the Council of Europe has just on the 3rd of June adopted a new declaration, a politically binding declaration of its 47 member states on ICANN, human rights, and the rule of law. And so this is the governments which have come together and discussed, and it's a very short document, there are copies here, which simply, you know, black and white states that, you know, there are issues of human rights and rule of law in what ICANN does. And it's important that the GAC, important the governments, which are, as you said, Wolfgang, rightly, they are the protectors of human rights, however narrowly or widely you want to talk about these rights, etc., and that there's a need to do work in that respect. And this is why we're here. This is why the GAC has a working group. This is why you're here now in this cross-community working party. And so I just want you to know that, you know, there is a concerted attempt here to say that there is a responsibility which needs to be explored, and we can do that together. That's something we can do together here through ICANN, through the governments, etc. So the last part, the last paragraph of this declaration talks about three groups: governments, the community, and ICANN itself. So I think it's important to understand that ICANN perhaps has a role too in pronouncing, or at least thinking about, what this means for ICANN itself. Now, I don't know whether that's the board or whether that's the staff. I don't know whether that's the CEO, but at some point there will be a need to respond at least to this formal binding declaration about next steps. I don't know whether there's no one here from ICANN staff in the room to respond, but you know, I see that there being a trinity here, as I've mentioned, governments, the community, and ICANN too. So I wonder what ICANN will have to say in the future about this. I mean, will they wait for the deliberations of this party and this group? Will they be thinking about this text? Will they be discussing it? What does that mean for ICANN itself? I invite comments if there are comments. Thank you.
Yeah, you raise a good point. And this is part of the problems we have since years. When we talk about ICANN, ICANN, that's we, the community. So, and then they have various bodies, and the bodies are populated by the community. So we had the discussion on the trust between the community and the board, but the board I was chairing, the nomination committee, and ICANN, the nomination committee is composed by members from the various communities, so the community members select their members of the board. So insofar, you know, we have to be very specific, you know, what we mean when we talk about ICANN. Do we meet ICANN board, ICANN staff, the ICANN supporting organizations, the ICANN advisory councils. And with regard to human rights, the key point is here, if a body of ICANN takes decision, and this is the board, and these are the councils, so that their decisions has to respect or has to be understand the human rights implications. So I think this is the very concrete material point, and insofar the Council of Europe resolution is very welcome, because you know it opens the eyes so that we have a higher level of sensitivity, at least in the board, and I think also in the councils. But the whole process is a multi-stakeholder process, and so that means if we move forward, how to enhance the understanding, we have to work hand in hand. That's why the contribution from the governments are welcome. And I can only encourage the GAC to talk on the human rights issues, you know, with the private sector, with the technical community. So we had a session just 2 hours ago from the IATF about enhancing privacy in the DNS, so which is an important human rights dimension. I think this is this goes to various other, the number community has also, you know, a privacy dimension. So it's not only the board or the domain name system. And insofar, you know, to benefit from this unique multi-stakeholder mechanism which has been developed here over the last 17 years, this is the way forward.
I'd like to give a lead opportunity to respond, but I'd first like to ask, we have a comment from the remote participation, and then Lee, and then Stephanie.
Okay, Joy Lidicott from New Zealand, participating remotely. She says that this is a very good discussion, and she supports the next steps and is available to help in whatever way she can. But she adds that while the suggestion of a case-by-case approach is good, this must still be by reference to clear principles which are applied in each case.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lee Hibbard, Council of Europe. Just to say that, Wolfgang, just to respond, I expect that this declaration will be communicated formally to ICANN, as we always do when things like this are done. So I expect that would be probably addressed to the CEO, to Fadi Chahadi, and I guess he may wish to respond to that letter and actually, you know, talk about perhaps next steps. I don't know yet what's going to happen, but I expect it to be formally communicated. You know, an intergovernmental organization like the Council of Europe has member states, but it has a Secretary General. And so the Secretary General stewards the organization, but he's not the member states. So there is a role to play, and even if it's maybe unsure about which... What ICANN is, like you said, there's a need to respond in some way and to move forward, how even if that means stumbling forward. So I really hope that ICANN also comes forward itself, as well as the government and the community. Thank you.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record, that was really my question. If it hasn't been sent formally... And if it's going to take a while, then we should go ahead and have somebody send it to the board, because otherwise nothing will happen, I would predict. I wouldn't count on anyone noticing it and deciding that ICANN board needs to respond. Tell me if I'm crazy, Wolfgang, but...
Go ahead for Dublin. I think it's a bottom-up organization. That means you have to start on the button and then, you know... That's it, and that's fine. By the way, I have to...
On that note, I would like to thank you all very much for this very lively and productive working session. I will distribute the commitments that have been made, and the work will be further working on this on the mailing list. I would like to ask people who have not done so already in the session this morning to write their names and email addresses here. So I'll send you an overview of the session, as well as the link to subscribe to the mailing list, so we can jointly work on all this together. And I am really looking forward to do that together with you. Thank you all very much.